This is Deirdre Fay with Safely Embodied, and I'm doing a series of embodied experiences, calls with different people who have been practicing and working in their internal lives in many different ways. I wanted to give you a whole spectrum of possibilities of different kinds of people doing different kinds of things so that you can see how you can access your own world in many different ways. There's no right way. There's no one way that is going to get you to a sense of freedom and possibility in your body and in your heart. But the more we have access to different people and different ways of being, the more you're going to feel both a quickening in your own spirit. It's going to want you to join in on that. And you're also going to find your own unique and special way. So today I'm talking with Michael Robbins, who is somebody I've known a very long time. He's a psychotherapist here in Boston. But for today's talk, more importantly, he is both a Qigong, Tai Chi, and Taoist meditation teacher. He has, when you hear him talk, you'll see he has this great spirit and spaciousness that comes through. I've learned from him, I've learned some Qigong from him, and I've enjoyed every moment of it. He and I also met, Michael and I met during a training we did with Dr. Yvonne Agazarian, which is a systems approach to group and individual therapy, and Michael's done it a lot longer than I have. He's now done it for over 20 years. He's also been a student of a variety of other healing modalities, interpersonal neurobiology, existential psychoanalytic therapy, sensory motor psychotherapy, and other forms of body-oriented therapy, Qigong, psychosynthesis, internal family systems, and the Diamond Heart Approach. He's also written some things and some articles and books and a book of poetry, as well as being a wonderful artist. So you can find out more about him and his work on his website, and I'll post that also, michaelrobbinstherapy.com. But I'll post that so you don't have to remember that. But welcome, Michael.
Yep. Hi, Deirdre. It's great to be here.
Yeah, it's delightful. Thank you. Yeah. And I really wanted people to know about Qigong, and especially people who have had disruptive nervous systems and difficulties of being in their body. I wanted them to hear your take on what is Qigong, what does that mean, what is Qi? Mm-hmm. Well, let's just start there. What is Qi?
Yeah, great. Okay, so if you look at Qi as your basic vitality, so Qi is like the electricity that's running through the house. And it's also the electricity that connects all things to each other. So there's a certain kind of magnetism that a flower has, that a human body has, that a place in nature has. And all of those are manifestations of qi. And in Qigong, what we want to look at is cultivating our awareness of that basic vitality, of that basic life force. The Qigong masters talk about three basic levels or three treasures of qi that we want to develop as we do our practice. So the first level is the level of our physical vitality, and that's connected with what's called the lower dantian or a belly. And the belly center, when it's open and relaxed, is going to emanate a certain kind of radiance, a certain kind of peace, a certain softness that is healthy and toned and is the source of our physical vitality in the physical world. And you know, I'm going to ask you to stop me at any point if I've said enough or if you have any questions there.
Oh, this is great.
Okay. All right, so this first center of our belly, that's the center of our physical vitality. And if that center is coherent and integrated, we're going to feel very embodied in the present, in the here and now. And that becomes like the base of our energetic pyramid. When that base is healthy and and balanced and flowing. We then can move the energy up to the second center, which is in the center in the chest, which is the center of compassion, or the center of connection with other people. So that if the physical vitality is the it's seen as the most important thing to develop for our health. Once our health is stable, we can develop our emotional health and our emotional sense of a relatedness to the people in our environment that's coming from our centers, rather than coming from a reactive part or coming from some kind of disorganized experience that's possessed us in the moment. Okay, so then once that center is working and online, then we can go to the next level of qi, which is the Taoists think of that as centered in the head center. And that center, when it's working, it's the opposite of what we would think of as the intellect. It's actually the quiet mind. So the quiet mind is the mind of emptiness. The Buddhists would call it the void. It's what happens when we're totally at ease in our minds, and the mind is reflective rather than active and receiving the intuition of our deeper nature or our true nature. So that's a kind of a big, broad overview of the you know, the big picture of what we're doing in Qigong.
That's wonderful, and that I think helps lay that out so that when people are distressed emotionally,
mm-hmm.
that's going to show up in their health, and obviously their mind isn't going to be quiet and reflective or touching into their wisdom.
Right.
Now, are there different kinds of qi other than this, or are these the three main?
Well, they're, you know, I think we can get more complicated, but probably for people's, you know, for beginners, those are the three that I deal with. You know, there also are the qi of the internal organs, and there's a five-element theory, and each of those elements are connected to an internal organ. But for right now, if we just focus on those three, that's probably enough for people listening at this moment.
And how do you weave qi in with psychotherapy?
Okay, so when someone comes for psychotherapy, one assumption that I make is that they're dysregulated in some way, so that their qi is not flowing in an even pulsation through their bodies, minds, and hearts. That there's some kind of fixation, there's some kind of glitch that you can, if you train yourself, you can actually both see and feel when you're with someone who is dysregulated. So the Qigong practice, if I'm doing a formal practice with someone, is hopefully going to help them to self-regulate again. If we're not doing a formal practice, the psychotherapy session itself could be said to be a kind of Qigong practice. And this is what I mean by that. That the words that we're exchanging in psychotherapy are only one part of the healing process. The more fundamental part of the healing process, from my point of view, is actually happening in the energy. So when I'm listening, I'm actually listening for the energy of the person, and noticing what's happening with their breath, what's happening with their nonverbal communication, where they're tense in their body, where they're blocking their qi flow. When they talk about a particular person or event in their life, do they become more dysregulated? Do they become more regulated? And by following that flow, I'm trying to help their qi become more even. And, you know, so that there's a, if we look at self-regulation is basically a state where there's a pulsation that allows us to move from a low level of energy to get our qi aroused enough that we can deal with whatever it is that's in our life. And then we're able at the end of the day to pull out the plugs and go back into a state of deep rest. So that there's a nice even pulsation in, Pat Ogden calls this the window of tolerance, which, you know, I know you know a lot about. But that's also a window of chi flow. So that river of well-being, Dan Siegel, who's a neurobiologist, talks about this flow inside of that hyperarousal and hyperarousal as a river of well-being, that if we stay there, we're also getting our chi flow into that nice, even pulsation. So is it?
How sensitive, if we can get ourselves there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. And you know, and the other thing that's, you know, just part of living in 2013 is that our environment is constantly throwing in our way events that dysregulate us. So just the complexity of the modern civilization that we're in is going to be somewhat dysregulating. And if you add on top of that having had a traumatic event or a real powerfully dysregulating event and dealing with all the sequelae of that, all the ways that your nervous system has become fixated or inflexible or either hyper-aroused or hyper-aroused, the body flows are going to be just little whacked out for people who have experienced that kind of trauma.
So in the Qigong, before I ask that, what is the difference between Qigong and Tai Chi? I'm sure people don't know the difference.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Tai Chi is actually a form of Qigong. Qigong might be defined as the art of energy cultivation. So that's the bigger umbrella. And then there are many different forms of Qigong. Tai Chi is one of them. Bagua is one of them. There are lots of very simple standing sets that I teach that are much easier to learn than Tai Chi that are also part of Qigong. And each of them have a very particular kind of effect on the nervous system. I might use them in different circumstances depending on what the person was dealing with.
So can somebody learn how to sort of, I don't want to say diagnose, but feel the difference inside them and see what practice would be most helpful for a particular situation?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, so here's one of the foundational skills that I'm trying to teach people in Qigong classes and also in psychotherapy, which is how to feel their bodies from the inside out. So, one thing that's, I think, just epidemic in our culture is that we actually don't feel our bodies from the inside. Lots of people come to Qigong classes, and the first challenge is that the whole attitude here is to take our awareness down inside of our bodies and begin to notice the state of our own chi flow, which is as simple, actually, as just noticing the state of your breathing. But then what we also train ourselves to notice is places where there's heat, where there's tingling, where there's awakeness or aliveness in our bodies, or where there's deadness and stagnation. Another thing that you train yourself to notice is overcharge as well as undercharge. So that, a lot of, particularly in this area in Boston, a lot of people come in and they're overcharged in their head centers. You know, they spend a lot of time thinking, and their belly center is undercharged. Then there are other people.
These are wonderful distinctions, Michael.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Learn about.
Right.
Were you
going to
say something else?
So just training yourself how to notice what those distinctions inside will help you then to choose a practice that's going to even you out. Because what's another way to look at this? If we look at attention really as the basic tool in Qigong, it's all about the training of our attention. And by training our attention to focus on particular parts of our body, we're actually sending an impulse to those nerves to come back into harmony and balance and regulation. So that's a very simple way of looking at it is that you're building a neural pathway that supports a sense of balance and homeostasis rather than a sense of dysregulation or fragmentation.
Is there an exercise you can lead us in that would give us a taste of that?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So, okay, so most, probably the most basic exercise is learning how to breathe diaphragmatically. And, you know, we know that from lots of other traditions as well, that this really helps with anxiety. The little twist that I'm going to put on it from a Qigong point of view is that I'll lead you through an exercise which is both deepening your breath into your belly, but what I also want you to do is to have your awareness in the center of your chest so that you're focusing on the quality of compassion in your chest. So maybe we'll just take a moment and do that. So wherever you are, just, I assume I'm speaking to people who are listening to this, find a way to sit in a chair in a comfortable way with your feet flat on the ground and with your spine comfortably erect so that your breath can reach all the way down into your belly. You might feel the top of your head reaching up towards heaven even as the bottom of your spine is seated deeply in your chair. And just allow your breath to relax into your belly. As your breath relaxes into your belly, notice if your breath can expand your belly in the forward direction. So you're just letting your belly expand forward and then come back. And then what I would like you to do is to notice if your breath can also expand in the backward direction so that you're expanding your lower back as well as your belly. You're actually touching your kidneys in the back with your breath. And then feel your breath expanding side to side as well. So left and right. So and you know, for many people this will take a little bit of time, and that's fine. If it's not happening for you totally, don't worry about it. Just notice what happens as you give yourself that subtle intention to breathe in a way that expands your belly, front, back, left and right. And finally, also notice if your breath can expand up and down so that you're breathing in a nice sphere, opening and closing, relaxing and melting any tension that you might feel in your belly. So as your breath deepens, the next phase of this exercise is to smile down into your chest. I want you to imagine that the energy in your chest is becoming very calm, very peaceful, and filled with this sense of an inner smile, a sense of appreciation, gratitude. Maybe like you're looking into the face of someone that you love unconditionally. Feeling that person. person beaming that unconditional love towards you, which will naturally open up that sense of gratitude, that sense of kindness, compassion. And while that compassion and kindness is opening right in the center of your chest, you're going to keep your breath very relaxed, very even, allowing your belly to expand in all directions, sphere, and then slowly sailing and coming back to empty. And just keep on allowing that relaxation to deepen. And allow that smile from the center of your chest to spread through your body. If you can go right into the tissues, right into the lived experience of being in your body right now. Whatever you find there, see if you can greet that with a quality of compassion, a quality of kindness. And all the while that you're doing that, your breath is continuing to deepen, continuing to relax. And you're creating a more coherent, more integrated state of well-being deep inside you, allowing that to emerge. You could feel that sense of well-being beginning to melt down through your whole body. So you could notice your shoulders relaxing. Notice your arms relaxing. Feel your legs. Notice where we are in time. So just begin to slowly come back. But as you come back, notice that this state can become like a very stable, familiar state for you that you can return to whenever you're feeling that your nervous system is a little bit overcharged or fragmented, that you can just come back to this very subtle breathing into your belly and this quality of compassion in the center of your chest. And so slowly, without losing that feeling of relaxation, begin to make your way back into open eyes. As your eyes open, experiment with feeling the connection from your heart into your eyes so that you're actually letting some of that compassion now cross the boundaries through your eyes out into your environment so that when you open your eyes, you're looking at your environment with that sense of compassion and kindness. Okay. All right, so that's a very basic and simple and profound practice from the Qigong tradition.
I would love it if people would practice this and post their comments so that Michael and I, too, can learn about how this affects you, what works, what doesn't work, how we can both in different ways keep looking at ways to support you and help you deepen and being in your body more often and more powerfully, more nourishing way. So thank you, Michael. I wish we had more time. Maybe we'll do this again.
Yeah, it was great to be here, and I hope that this helps a lot of people, and I'm very happy to be of service. Also, just so people know, if they go onto my website, there is a tab that says Qigong on it, or Qigong, spelled Qigong. And if you click on that tab, there's a whole series of audio files that you can download for free. So you can actually take a whole Qigong class for free online. And there are practices there that you can download into your iPod or into your computer, and I'll guide you through a whole series of practices from those audio files. So
beautiful, Michael. What a gift. So again, I'll put the links up there so that you can have that and have them easily. But Michael's got some great resources there for you. And thank you, Michael. And we'll be back in touch another time.
Okay. Very good.